Listen. That's the first word that Jesus uses as he goes into the parable. Listen. And then he follows it with another word that's a very similar word, a word that we translate behold, or we could translate it pay attention. And then Jesus closes the parable with those words, that tagline there, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I kind of wonder if there wasn't a bunch of high school boys in the audience there along the shore that Jesus was speaking to. And as any preacher, teacher, or for that matter, any manager or any parent knows, it can be very tough to get people to listen, to get people to listen well, to get students to listen well enough so that what they see and what they hear, it doesn't just glance off them, but it sinks into their minds and into their hearts, and then it transforms them and transforms their lives and bears fruit. Is a challenge, and you're likely aware that we live in an environment that isn't very fertile ground for deep listening, deep attention. In fact, a huge part of our economy, especially in our area, a huge part of our economy is devoted to trying to get our attention, to capture our eyeballs, you know, to give us messages, and so there's all kinds of energies devoted to getting our attention. In his book, The World Beyond Your Head, the author, motorcycle mechanic, philosopher, a guy named Matthew Crawford, he shares one anecdote about this, and it comes from South Korea. There, evidently a few years ago, there were some advertisers who upped their advertising to new levels of sensory immersion, and what they did is on one particular bus, on a particular bus route, they installed these scent emitters, and at a certain point in the bus route, the smell of coffee was emitted in the air, in the atmosphere in this bus, so that all those there would smell coffee. And then right along where that scent being in the air, a banner ad appeared on one of the screens, or maybe probably all the screens there in the bus, and it was an ad for Dunkin' Donuts. And just as this was all taking place, it all happened right before the bus stopped in front of, you might guess, yeah, Dunkin' Donuts, right? I think they won actually some awards for doing this. This is just like a, you know, all of the senses are being attacked here in order to try to sell some coffee and donuts. Listen, pay attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus says. And Jesus says this because he has something very important to teach. Good teachers have this ability to communicate knowledge that is transformative. And so perhaps there's a teacher that we have, a biology teacher who teaches us about these amazing ribosome molecules that are able to unzip DNA and then recode that DNA in the nucleus of another cell as it's dividing and multiplying. And we might be gripped by that understanding, and it might grip us, in fact, so much that we find that we want to devote our lives to studying these mechanisms, these amazing mechanisms at the intricate nucleuses of cells. Or perhaps we work alongside a master electrician and we watch how he is able to work in a high voltage switch panel, staring death in the face, and through some intricate testing and through a whole lot of experience, is able to diagnose problems that even the utility guys can't figure out. And you watch how this guy is sought after, and has got this knowledge that provides him a level of freedom and provides him work in this world, and you think, man, I want that. I want to know. I want to be as wise as he is. What Jesus offers through his teaching is transformative, and it's transformative at a level that is far greater than just simply expert knowledge in one discipline. Jesus is, as we see in verse 11, is communicating the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the kingdom that extends through this creation, through time, you know, and through all of it. And it involves it all. And so listening to Jesus means understanding the depths of God's kingdom and finding ourselves caught into that kingdom, into those kingdom nets, as it were, as we heard last week. And here's the thing, we don't have to be experts in order to begin to understand this. We don't have to be top students. Jesus says elsewhere that the kingdom belongs to little children. We just have to listen, and we just have to listen well. Mark reveals something about Jesus' method of teaching, and it's a method of teaching that his disciples, they're kind of curious about. They don't really get. They wonder why Jesus uses the method that he does, why he uses these parables in order to teach. You know, why be almost like intentionally confusing in using these parables? Why not just say it plainly? And Jesus responds by quoting the prophet Isaiah, quoting God's word through the prophet Isaiah. He quotes there, "That in seeing they may see and yet not perceive, and in hearing hear and yet not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Now that's kind of confusing, kind of complex, but if we think about that for a moment, if we let those words, the Word of God, sink into our minds and germinate a little bit, I think that we will begin to see something that we know to be true. There is a difference between seeing and truly seeing. There is a difference between hearing something and truly hearing it in order to understand it. And Jesus illustrates this difference in the parable of the soils. He points his audience to something that they would have seen every day. These soils, the path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, these things were probably things that audience there, that crowd, encountered on their way to go and to hear from Jesus. This is just all around them. They're well aware of all of this context. And he invites the audience to consider how the seed grows up in these various different soils. And then, of course, then he closes with those words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And we come to see, particularly because we are treated to the meaning of this parable, along with the disciples, we're brought in close to Jesus. And we come to see that there's this connection between the soil and how we hear. The word is being sown out like seed, and we are a field, and we have dirt in our ears. But what kind of field are we? The sower sows the word, and the word is received in these four different ways. It is received, first of all, like seed that falls on the path, and the way that that fields were laid out and still are laid out in the Middle East and in Israel. The path is the place where the soil has been incredibly compacted. So it's compacted like stone. And so the seed, when it lands on it, it can't get into that soil. It's like concrete. It's easy for a bird to come by and just pluck that seed right off the path. And there is a kind of listening that hears the message of God's kingdom, hears this message given by Jesus, and yet the person is hardened against that message. They will not receive it. Their heart is hard. And even more than that, so there's an internal reaction set against the message, the seed, but there's also an external force at work as well, and that's the force of Satan, Jesus says. The deceiver, the enemy, who comes and wants to pluck and goes and plucks that message away so that it will not go down into the soil and bear fruit. The word is also received like seed that falls in the rocky soil. And the rocky soil, Jesus tells us, is thin soil. It's just got a thin layer of soil for which to grow. And because it's thin, it springs up quickly, but it doesn't have root. And so it wilts very quickly. And the Greek word used there is the word temporary. This is a temporary growth. There's a kind of listening where people hear the word of Jesus and they hear this amazing good news of salvation in Christ and life in Christ, the kingdom of God, and they're initially full of joy. But then trouble strikes them, or they face persecution, pressures in the world, pressures because of their faith, and they begin to wilt. Maybe they, in a sense, they receive Jesus like people receive that magic cleaning solution that is as seen on TV. For $19.95, all of your troubles will magically disappear. Woohoo! You know? Yes! The answer. And they receive the word like that, but it has no root that unites them to Jesus through suffering and trial and persecution, and they quickly wilt and they go away looking for other cheap fixes. The word is also received like seed that falls among thorns. The seed grows up, but it grows up amongst other competitors. And these competitors, they end up draining the life out of the seed so that it doesn't grow up and it doesn't bear fruit. Now, Jesus explains that there is a type of listening where people hear the word, but the word gets choked by the cares of the world and by the deceitfulness of riches and by the desire for other things. And we see in the passage that it isn't just that the things of the world are in and of themselves evil, but how we attach ourselves to these things can become corrupted and disordered. And so, just like thorns steal the energy out of the growth of a seed as it germinates and it grows into a stalk of grain, these things, these concerns and our attachments to things, they steal the energy away from the growth of the word within us. They steal that energy away so that the word does not root deeply. And instead, these thorns grow up into thorn bushes around the word. But thorns don't produce fruit. They just produce a thorny mess all around. No lasting fruit comes from them. Ultimately, they're useless. And finally, there is good soil. There is a quality of listening Jesus describes that receives the word, and it allows it to root deeply. And it allows it to send up a stalk that bears fruit that multiplies 30 and 60-fold and 100-fold. And Jesus says in verse 20 that these are the ones who hear and accept and receive the word within them. To truly listen means submitting yourself to the message, submitting yourself to the word so that the word grows and shapes you and shapes your will. And this is a humbling thing to accept it like good soil. A few weeks ago, actually probably more like a couple months ago now, I was watching a movie with my kids, with my boys in particular, and I was trying to find, it's always a bit of a challenge sometimes to find a good movie out there, but I came across a movie that reminded me of my boyhood days, so you know there's that nostalgia factor. And I saw there's this movie. The movie was entitled Karate Kid, but it was like a new version of the Karate Kid, not the Karate Kid that I had grown up watching. And it was, it seemed to be rated well, you know, so it wasn't going to be like a bad movie. But it ended up being this movie that featured Jackie Chan, who was the sensei, the teacher, and then Will Smith's son. And this movie came out, I think, actually probably almost 10 years ago now. Well, there's a scene in the movie that really struck me, and it was a scene that says a lot about discipleship and about listening and the fruit that comes from it. There's a scene where Jackie Chan, the teacher, he tells young Mr. Smith, I can't remember if his name's Jalen or something like that, but he tells him to take off his jacket, to put it on the ground, to go put it on, and then to hang it up, and then to take it down, and he tells him to do this again and again and again. And the boy, he can't understand. It seems so futile. He can't understand why he's doing this. He's got to do this for like thousands of times. He just has to listen to his teacher. And you see his will is being shaped and formed. But then there comes a point when Jackie Chan begins to spar with him. And suddenly, all of a sudden, the boy, young Smith, he finds that he's got all these moves that are just become a part of his muscle memory. And he dodges a sweep, and he's able to throw a punch and then block a kick. And it's all been ingrained in him. All of this motion, what he thought was futile, ends up being something very significant. And it was because he listened, because he gave his will over to his teacher and the instruction. And true freedom comes from yielding yourself over to good instruction and proper, truthful discipline of another. There are at least four implications for us that follow from Jesus' teaching. First of all, Jesus uses the illustration of a plant, and plants take time to grow. Receiving the word takes time to grow. You'll notice that Jesus teaches in parables, and parables are not little fluffy takeaway taglines. You can't really tweet a parable. Hashtag too much germination needed. Parables, they take work. They take processing. And there's some great videos out there, through modern media, these wonderful videos. You can find them on YouTube about the Bible, about different books of the Bible, themes of the Bible under these videos, the Bible Project. I know that many of us have been already aware of these things. These things are very helpful to learn more about the Bible. But the truth is that these things are wonderful tools, but it takes a lifetime of deep listening germination and cultivation, that's needed in order to let the word dwell in us deeply, dwell in us richly, and take root. We need, we need to gather around the word and study it deeply. And I think this is challenging and provocative for us too as well, particularly I think about our own family lives and the culture we live in today. When it comes to things like reading and math, if our children all have to study these things, and if they come to us and say, wow, these things are rather boring, typically we don't turn to them and say, well, if you think they're boring, I guess you can just kind of don't worry about it, You don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to that. No, we're responsible adults would never do that, because these things are fundamental to so many other things in life. They will not be able to make their way through the world if they don't know some basic reading and mathematics and whatever they do. Now, what if our kids say to us, well, I don't know, studying the Bible, do I really have to go to Sunday school and youth group, and do I have to take advantage of these kinds of things? Is the Word of God less important than reading or math or these things that we learn? Do we think they're less important? Do our actions illustrate that they're less important? How much attention are we giving to the disciplined study of the Word? Have we been cultivating deep habits of listening, deep habits individually, deep habits with our own kids and our family, such that these habits work through some of those natural boredom, some of that natural distractibility, and it gets deeper, it gets within us. Eugene Peterson, I just love this. You've heard, probably some of us, you've heard me use this illustration before, but I love how he talks about studying the word. He talks about it like a dog chewing on a bone, the way that a dog gnaws on a bone. We should be gnawing on God's word, he illustrates. My late mentor, Pastor L. Helder, one of his favorite songs was the old hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story," and he particularly liked the line from verse 3. "I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Those who know it best never get tired of hearing it, because it continues to grow, and it continues to root deeper, and it continues to bear fruit. Also, receiving the word takes Jesus to understand. Notice that the disciples, they gather around Jesus. Now, we probably, if we haven't experienced this, we know how these things work, but if you've ever seen or experienced a sonogram, we typically, use those, these things for women who are pregnant with their babies, and you go in and you get a sonogram at certain times during the pregnancy. And whenever I've been there, not receiving a sonogram, of course, but seeing this happen, you see, it doesn't look like it's that difficult. All they're doing is they're holding up this wand, and it's, the computer's generating this image. But if I was to grab that thing and try to get an image, of course I wouldn't be able to do it, because I've not been trained on it, because there's ways in which there's positions, there's interpretation that's needed. It would probably just become, a bunch of swiggly mess, if you will. You need a trained, you need a guide. We need good guides in order to see, in order to hear important things. And the disciples, they were just ordinary guys. They ended up doing extraordinary things. There are cities named after them. A number of us are named after them. But they're just ordinary guys. They were not the brightest tools of the shed. When Jesus uses parables, they're like, what is this all about? Why do you use parables? What do you mean by that? It didn't just come to them right away. But they went to Jesus with their confusion. And they were, because they're close to Jesus, Jesus explained it to them. And there's a lesson here. The word of God, the message of the kingdom, it's revealed through Jesus. Jesus teaches us the message of the kingdom. The veil is lifted. We are confused by many things, we can take comfort that all things are held together in Him. Third thing we also notice here, hopefully you notice that the sower is rather generous in his sowing. The word, the seed, the word, it's getting scattered everywhere. It's landing on places where it's like, wow, could you be more precise in terms of the scattering of the seed? It's falling all over the place. Early church father John Chrysostom, along with many other people throughout the centuries, have meditated on this and considered this. And they've concluded that this is an indication of God's generous sowing grace, the way that He generously sows His word. And Chrysostom either preached or wrote this. He said, "For the rocky soil can in time turn into rich soil. Among souls, the wayside may come no longer to be trampled by all that pass, and may become a fertile field. The thorns may be destroyed, and the seed enjoy full growth." We remember that Jesus quotes God's word through Isaiah and indicates that when someone understands and when they turn, they're forgiven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's an opportunity to hear and to be a different soil than maybe what you were before. The word may seem like a little seed that falls on hard soil, but we remember that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts and divides to bone and to marrow. And God sows the Word with kingdom power. It just might look like a little seed, but it has power. Incredible power, transformative power. And this is good news for us. This is good news for preachers and teachers and parents and those of us who have heard the word and it's growing up in us and are taking part in sowing that word as well, telling people about Jesus. And especially when it seems that the ground is rocky and hard and we're not seeing a lot of fruit. God's word is powerful. And finally, Jesus tells us that this word, it does produce abundant fruit in receptive soil. And this is the remarkable thing that people have noted since the beginning of history about agriculture, that a single seed is able to produce a stalk that bears multiple seeds. And not only that, but those seeds can then be transformed into amazing things, flour that is then put to use to make bread, wonderful bread. You can go to Bodine and buy, you know, this incredible sourdough bread, this culture that comes from these products, this, you know, these kernels that grow up. The seed sown by Jesus has fallen on good soil. It has grown up to produce a culture, the culture that reveals the kingdom of God and its beauty and wonder. And this has grown up over time in remarkable ways, grown up into a community of people who are brought together in Christ, even though they're come from different nations and different ethnicities and may even be enemies of one another, and yet they're reconciled to one another and call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. Families who, because of the word growing up in them, are like lighthouses among their neighborhoods, and families who bring in foster kids underneath their roof. And institutions, even over time, hospitals, universities, much of Western civilization, if we want to think really big picture about all this, has because the seed of the kingdom has grown up and had an effect on the world, a profound effect. Last Sunday evening, our family, we visited Swaran Bangu. I don't know if you remember. Many of you might remember Swaran. Up until a year and a half ago, she was worshiping with us, but then she moved closer to be with family in Yuba City. And so we just had the joy as a family of going and seeing her, and she made us wonderful Indian food. We got to have a dinner with her. It was fantastic. Swaran's story, I can't really tell all of her story for her, but she's had a difficult life, and right now, currently, she's found a job doing some work at I think like a warehouse or factory outside of Sacramento, and she was telling us, she was saying that she works with a lot of other Indian women like her from Punjab, the Punjab region of India. And she's unique among most of these women in that she's a Christian and they are Sikh women. And when they find out that she's a Christian, things change often in the dynamic of their relationship with her. And sometimes they even treat her badly. But she says she continues to tell them about Jesus and how much she loves Jesus and that you need to know Jesus. And of course, they might be a little turned off by this, but she keeps on telling them. And we see that the word has multiplied in her and is sown even through her in its fruit. We've been intentionally gathering around the word, to help add a, if you will, even a layer of support and accountability as we've been reading the Bible together. And lately we've been reading from the Gospel of John. And the reading for this past Friday comes from the famous chapter from John chapter 15, where Jesus says these words there. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, whoever remains in me, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we come to Jesus, abide in him and in his word, listen to him, the teacher. Those who have ears to hear, let us hear. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we find that we are are in the midst of your sowing, as we hear your word and preach your word and consider your word to us. And we thank you, Lord, that your word has power, and we thank you for your spirit that transforms us and opens our hearts to receive that word. And Lord, we pray that through the power of your spirit within us, your word would bear fruit in our lives, and that would show in our families and in our careers and all that we do in this world, in your name and for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.